Hot in here, man.
Like, how hot?
Like, I don't know. It's like, I don't want to open the window because I'm trying to maintain, like, sound quality.
Mm-hmm.
And the outside world doesn't need to be involved in this recording. So it's stuffy. I shouldn't have said hot. It's stuffy.
Okay.
Plus, I'm burning some trash. Hello and welcome to episode 549 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany. With me, as always, is
Adam in Vancouver, British Columbia.
Terry Fox, Canadian hero, ran halfway across Canada on just the one leg, running a marathon every single day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How's your ankle, buddy?
It's good. It's bruised. It's swollen. I haven't run any marathons yet, so
yeah.
I'm sorry.
I'm just trying to put it in perspective.
Yeah. I'm walking around. How about that?
Okay, yeah, hey. Swings and roundabouts, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. How is it healing? Did you have to do surgery?
No. Did not.
Are you going to get like an ankle? Can you do an ankle replacement?
That exists, but that's more for arthritis. This is just soft tissue.
Do they do that? I've heard of knee and hip replacements, but I've never heard of ankle replacements.
They're rare. I've treated a few.
At some point, you're just like, you know what? Cut it off. Like, aren't you?
Yeah, they're knee replacements and hip replacements work extremely well. The ankle replacement is not as perfect when it comes to surgery. Therefore, they do a lot fewer. So,
like a ring finger knuckle replacement.
Nope, haven't seen it.
Like on like that like and what are the like you have two knuckles on each finger, right? What's the one closest to your fingernail called? What's that knuckle called?
That's called the DIP joint, the distal interphalangeal joint.
Okay, I'm going to pioneer that surgery, that replacement surgery. Okay. It would have to cost like $15 though. To be for people to want to do it.
Right, to get it out there. But although it could be free, your medical system works that way, doesn't it?
Nothing's free, Adam.
Oh, sorry. Somebody's paying for it. Not
it's
you,
It's very expensive. We pay for it, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Do you not know how medical system... You pay for your medical system.
I do understand that.
Okay.
Yeah, but I pay for it whether or not I get that finger joint surgery.
Correct. No, this will be elective, I'm assuming. I don't know how many people are going to get this replacement. Like, maybe Luke Skywalker would probably get it. But I've seen him get it, like, the Android one.
Right.
So the blue sky phase. What do you call that? Is that what it's called? Blue sky, where you just dream up anything?
Sure.
I don't know. I don't work.
You just made that up. No, I didn't.
I wish I had, because it sounds ridiculous. It sounds like I made it up. That's how bad it is. I think it's a thing. Okay. We're gonna go, and I think they call it like a verb too. Like, yeah, we're gonna go and blue sky it. It's a world you haven't spent time in, is it, Adam? The whole facilitator, motivational speaker. What's the other word for the voodoo snake guy? Okay. It's all the same guy.
Okay.
Okay. Well, that should be a different podcast about how to be a professional. I have accidentally had to spend considerable amount of time in that world. Okay. Life coach. You've heard that.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Yeah. Not actually a terrible concept, but turns out the life coaches I've met don't have it together.
Turns out there doesn't seem to be a specific school of life coaching. You just decide that you're good at life and then you coach others. Is that how it works?
Yeah, but you're not even really good at life. That's the kicker. It's like me being a sit-up coach. Okay, here, we're going to get you some washboard abs. No, ignore this. Like, I do. No, like, okay, wait. Full disclosure, I have amazing washboard abs in there somewhere. Like, they're there somewhere.
Right. Yeah.
You really gotta poke around to get them.
Yeah, I've got a great memory somewhere in there.
Huh?
Like I can remember things occasionally. Right. Yeah.
You remember my abs.
Yeah. Yes, I do.
This is weird. Wake up in a cold sweat 3 a.m. Oh, right. All right. Patreon, if you want to help us out and keep up this witty repartee, click to our... I can't even say it. Do I even deserve it? Click on our site. You'll see a link to Patreon on twohosers.com. Click over there and help us out. Keeps the lights on. The wolves away from the door, as they say.
Okay.
And I think you can still Amazon. I honestly don't know. Like, my inaction is tells me that it's probably still there. So if you're still buying things on Amazon, which I am, I think I just bought something the other day. I forget what it was. Nothing important. But click through our site and help us out while we still can.
Okay. Yeah, I bought a kickstand the other day off Amazon. So there you go. For you Sarah, have a bike? We got Sarah a new bike. So
oh, we got, you got wait. Her. You're able to buy a bike? I was told that if you wanted to, it was like East Germany in the 50s. Like you could not. You had to order one, and in 5 years you get a bike. That's what people are telling.
Yeah, we had been looking online, and we had a very specific bike model and all that, but it showed up online. There was one available, and so we thought it was fake. We're like, oh no, we're ordering it. And then it was at our local bike shop in Steveston that managed to get one. So it was awesome. Oh, wow. So
what'd you get her? Yeah. I mean, I'm in the market for a bike for my daughter as well, despite the fiasco from a couple of years ago. She's outgrown that and looking for a bike. And we went and saw one. I thought was a perfect bike for her, and she just did not like it. So what did you get for Sarah?
We got a giant brand Tempt. Liv is kind of like one of their lines of bikes.
Okay,
like a mountain bike style bike. Okay. It's a Liv Tempt 3. Was not inexpensive, but I guess bikes aren't.
Okay, you tell me the ballpark price off the air, but the what?
You could just go look up Liv Tempt 3.
Yeah, I'm not going to. Well, off the air. That whole off the air thing. I wouldn't have brought it up had I not meant it. Why the mountain bike style? Does she do a lot of mountain biking?
No, I mean, that's just the style, more of the handlebars. And it's good. Basically, we got her the big wheels, like 29-inch, so nice, smooth ride. Like the thing, it's an aluminum frame, so it weighs next to nothing. It's good for road riding. She more or less uses it to, like, as their commuter vehicle. Like, she goes with her friends, and they just get around town on bikes. So, wanted something that, you know, basically would kind of suit her needs. And so, she doesn't need, like, a 21-speed kind of, like, road bike.
That's why I asked.
Yeah, she doesn't need that. She needs something that's basically good for wherever she wants to go. So, this is kind of a do-it-all kind of bike. So it's got big tires, nice smooth on the road. I think it's 14 speeds. It's super light. It has, just front suspension if she wanted to go off the beaten path a little bit, but you can adjust the suspension so that it just rides smooth, so that there's no give on the shocks. Like, it does everything, right? It's a good all-in-one style bike for what she needs.
Right. But exactly why I ask, because she sounds like she needs more of like a street cruiser, but I don't even know if they even make those anymore. And I'm trying to convince my daughter that she doesn't need like the same as you. Like, I'm like, you don't need the 21 gears. Like some of her friends or some of my son's friends, even like at age 6, I see them. First of all, they have bikes that are about 4 years too big for them. Like their parent, I guess their parents are looking like, I only want to buy one bike. For my kid forever. So I'll just buy one that is too big now and will be too small in 10 years, but it's going to be the same bike. He's still riding it, right?
Sure.
But they can't, like, so we'll go on bike rides. So I got my son the sort of the Kuwahara style, like as we discussed a couple weeks ago, you can't really buy Kuwahara right now anymore. And so I bought him that kind of very simple style, meaning it's got exactly one gear forwards. That's it. Go. Mm-hmm. And he was like, no, like my friend so-and-so, Franz, I guess, or Hans, I forget his name. He's got one like 147 gears. Like that's the best, you know. It's like, but we've been on bike rides with him, and he goes up the hill in the lowest possible gear, and he just falls over. Like the kids do not know. Or the other move, which is a very common move, the kids will like will get to our house and they'll stop riding and just leave it in the heart, like the lowest gear, you know. And so then they get back on the bike and cannot start pedaling.
Right.
See what I'm saying? They don't have the mental acuity for multiple gears.
Okay.
So I'm trying to convince my daughter. And plus, my bike has 21 gears. I'll give you how much I use. I use 14.29% of those gears.
Okay.
That's three.
Okay, I got it.
Yeah. Is it? Yeah. Yeah, it's one. Yeah, three out of 21. I use three gears. You know, and really just two of them, and then third year, every once in a while, I'll use it. That's about it. So it's not a big deal. Okay, 40 more minutes on gears on bikes, and then we'll go from there. I'm looking forward to seeing the bike she has.
The bike she has is incredibly sweet, yeah. Mm-hmm. So now, Jack got a bike about a year ago, but we got him one that was foldable. Mm-hmm. Being that we could throw it in the back of the Pilot and take it places, which we've used a half dozen times in the last year. So unfortunately, the frame is just too heavy comparing Sarah's and his. It's like night and day. Even though his is smaller, it's just so heavy. So
right.
I think maybe next year, like we look to see if we could get him a bike similar to Sarah's. And just like you said, there's just nothing out there. So we wanted a comparable bike, but it doesn't exist. They don't think they're going to get any stock until next year's bike. So Sarah just got lucky. We got lucky on that one. And who knows? We'll keep looking, but probably next year for Jack.
Nice.
Bikes everywhere now, though. It's great to see. Like, they'll ride everywhere. They'll ride across Richmond to a friend's house. They ride to school every day. Yeah, it's good. I'm happy that I have to drive them less, and they are getting more outside exercise on their own.
Well, Richmond's pretty great for the number of cross city bike lanes, but also mm-hmm. where you live, like along the dike down there, you can ride all the way around.
Yep.
It's a pretty fantastic spot. So there you go. Get them a camera. They can join in the challenge next month.
Sure. Okay.
Shoot some cool stuff along the dike on their bike rides. Right. That's right. And into what's going on. That was it. You bought it on Amazon, you said, or did you?
No. We bought it. Okay. I bought a kickstand because
the kickstand on Amazon. That was the connection.
That was the other thing that I noticed. I don't know if it's with all higher end bikes, is that it comes with nothing. Like there's no kickstand. There's no, like, there's reflectors on the tires. There's no like reflector set, which I thought would be just okay. That doesn't even have that. There's no water bottle holder. Like, you accessorize everything uh-huh. separately. So I did that on Amazon, bought water bottle holder, bought kickstand, all that stuff.
Lights
on Amazon.
We got for lights.
I've been looking at the lights. I haven't picked the light set yet, but so far this time of year, I think I'm safe for a few weeks. She does not ride at night.
Yeah. It's funny because here in Germany, I think the rule is like you have to have permanent lights that are powered by the bike.
Like, oh, okay.
You can't just have, which I do not have on my bike. So I just have LEDs that you add on that I got from a place called Mountain Equipment Co-op, which they're still around, right?
Yes, I believe so. I haven't been there many years, but I think so.
They have, you're going to find other options in your Steveson cycle, but they have fantastic, everything's like, you know, charge on USB now. Like, you can just plug, like the idea being you'd ride your bike to work and then plug it in on your computer or something like that. But the rechargeable LEDs are phenomenal. And they have one in particular that is like, you shoot a movie with it. It's so bright. It's just fantastic. So I have a whole bunch of different ones of those. So I recommend something like that. I'll send you a picture of what I have, what I can recommend, and then I'm sure they have them right down the street from you.
Okay.
All righty. What is going on in Vancouver, Adam? Normal summertime now. Like, the heat's gone, right?
Yeah, it's still warm. Like, I think we're getting, you know, mid to upper 20s every day, but it's not like 40. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That must be glad that that's gone.
Yeah, I'm
no, this no, time. No.
I am.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, I think everybody is. Yeah, So we've been having, again, with still with the crazy weather, like basically all thunderstorms like every night now, which is kind of weird the entire week. But we did have soccer on Friday. My son had soccer on Friday. Great weekend. We're having starting to get those weekends where that you're used to, ones that you, more, like the, more along the lines of a Schwartz weekend where you have, you know, four different sports going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And yeah, so he had a soccer game on Friday, and then a bit like a baseball doubleheader on the set the next Saturday. So that was a pretty fun weekend for Dad.
Nice.
Yeah. Although I'm sure it's the same there. Did your kids ever play soccer?
No, Sarah went to two practices and then hated it and retired her jersey.
Yeah, that seems reasonable. no, it's different here. It's actually I don't know what to compare it to. I would imagine just based on anecdotal evidence that like that the baseball here is worse than it is in Canada, but the soccer is going to be better just by nature of the fact that every kid plays soccer and when's the last time Canada was in the World Cup, that kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
And so the kids are actually pretty good. They actually have skills now. But there was a mismatch on the weekend. And so they kind of really beat up on the other team. And, which I thought was kind of funny because then some of the other dads on the other team were still into it. Still like yelling at their kids, get over there, get over there. It's like, dude, it's 19-0. Okay.
Yeah.
Kids are 7 and it's soccer. Just, you're good. He's a listener, so now I feel awkward.
right.
There's that. Anyway, so that was it. Yeah, that's what's going on here. So why don't we get into what did you shoot anything interesting this week?
I don't think I've taken. Oh, did last time we talked about I did those photos for the graduation. Had I already done that? I've lost.
You talked about it. Yep.
Okay, so I'd already done that. So no, I haven't shot anything interesting since that. Not only have I not shot anything interesting, I have not taken my camera out since then.
Right.
Because I'd already done my monthly challenge. So yeah, zero photos since last time.
All right. Good thing we do a photo show.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. I went and took the class photos at my kid's school.
Okay.
It's my daughter's, she goes to new school next year. And so her teacher asked, hey, can you come down and take a class photo? And I said, yeah, you know what? I'll just do the whole school. Like there's, I think there's like four classes and whatever it is and, small school. And I said, yeah, I'll do all four of them. We'll just line them up and, you know, space them now. So you're doing a class photo. You're going to do them outside. That's my plan. How long in between would you schedule for each photo?
For a class photo?
Yeah.
I don't know, 10 minutes?
I went a little bit. I thought, you know what? I think the kids are a little bit hard to handle. I'm going to give them 20 minutes. Okay. 10 minutes was correct. I should have done 10. Okay. 20 was too much. Just FYI. But I thought corralling the kids and getting them all to kind of focus and get the right photo would take a little bit longer, but it did not. German efficiency, buddy. So. Okay. So we get out there. So here's the plan: we go outside and take the pictures with the school in the background. Do something kind of cool up by the playgrounds. So there's kind of some interesting backgrounds and different levels and stuff like that. Not your typical picture, but it was that perfect kind of like a light haze. You know what I mean? So there's still still like some decent light, but it's just broken up enough that I'm going to get some nice results. In right up until I'm going to fire off the camera, and then the haze disappears, and we have that sort of, I guess, around what time do we start? We started like at 10:30 in the morning, something like that. So we have that 10:30 a.m. in the summer sunshine hammering down.
Right.
Boo. luckily, the sun was sort of coming at like a 3/4 angle from like behind them instead of hitting them in the face. I mean, it's still overhead, but it's a little bit on the behind side. And so I happened to bring a couple of off-camera flashes and the X100, which is phenomenal at taming that sunshine. So I was able to get really good. I'm not going to share them. I did send them to you. I think you saw one or two of them.
Yeah, I saw it. They look good.
Yeah, it's really like that camera worth it. If you just do class photos, worth getting that camera. for that reason. Did that, shot a bunch of soccer, did mostly videos for soccer for some reason. I just felt like I wanted to get some video of my kid playing, which turns out you end up shooting a lot of garbage and then got to sift through it. But right. I actually do have a really pro clip of my son doing a big, like hooking a big corner kick in while his buddy heads it into the goal. So,
oh, nice. Where's that?
Yeah. I didn't share it, man. I'll send it to you offline. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So there's that. Like, you actually look pro. I was like kind of impressed. Then baseball. So we had baseball on Saturday, first game of the year. Very excited, right? Because my son playing up there, having a good time, and got to start hitting in the two spot. And first AB, hit by pitch.
Nice.
Welcome to the season, kiddo.
In his back?
And it just kind of grazed him. So like, I'm glad. I think it's the first time he's ever been hit. And so it just kind of wasn't bad at all. So I'm hoping he just remembers that as what it's like to get hit instead of getting hit in the mouth or something.
Yeah.
So I shot a bunch of photos. I shot mostly video again of that. So I did post. I don't know. It's one of those things where, what is it, a hit? Is it an error? In this league, he hit the ball and got on base.
Okay.
So I don't know if it's his first hit. I kind of want it to be so I can stop filming them all.
Because
I'm trying to film his first hit. But
no, you got to, if you're not sure, you got to keep going.
Yeah, it's I talked after with one of the other dads who's a baseball guy, and he's like, oh, I don't know, it's kind of an error. And I was like, yeah, except for if I was scoring it on anybody else, I would 100% just give them a hit.
Right.
Know? And I'm not like trying to get my kid more hits. I really just want to stop filming every single at bat until it happens. And so it's hard to see because, you know, so I put the video in the Dropbox. You can see that. Have a look in there. Here he is taking a rip. And you can see it's such horrible camera work on my part because the dad kicked in and I was so excited that I ended up shooting the sky at the end. And I was so nervous, man. Like, I am so unbelievably excited and nervous for him when he plays.
Oh, so. that's an error, man. I can't give that to him. You got to keep going.
Oh, boy. You don't even see the play happening.
I guess you can. You can see Yeah, you can totally see. The kid's got to catch this. It's a routine throw to first. That kid's got to make that catch. How does he not catch that? That's a perfect throw. That's an error. Even in kids baseball, man, keep that filming going. Don't let him look back on that and say, "Dad, that wasn't even a hit." You can't leave that on the table. Come on. No, the reason I say that is that my son's team is very, very tough on scoring decisions. So not that, like, this we're comparing apples to oranges because the kids are again older, bigger.
Same league.
Oh, that kid at first base doesn't look that old.
The kids are younger, but it's up to, like, it's a wider range of ages. I think the oldest you can be is 13 in this league.
Okay. Which is the same as ours, but it's also like, you know, the provincial level, like it's.
And you have a league for 10 and 11 year olds. We don't.
Right. So yeah, so you wouldn't have that. But anyways, this would 100% be an error. You would not get scored.
Oh, I would score this an error in your league for sure. Like, that's the thing is if I'm legitimately scoring this, like, all, whether it's not my son or not, I'm calling it a hit because it's like you hit the ball, you got a base. I'm also on your side, your page, which I don't want him to think this is his first hit. Like, I would like it to be, you know, a double in the gap. So sure. I do want that. So I'm not campaigning for him to go, oh, no, it's a hit. It's more so, let's just, you know, rip the Band-Aid off. That's what I want.
Except for, even as the video critique here is that, yeah, your panning's all over the place, the the camera goes to the sky. You can't have this be the memory. You just can't. You can be better.
It can be. No, it can be. That's okay, because I'm participating in it. Like, it's more about my participation in the moment. But anyways, whatever. I do lean towards yours. That's ultimately where I'm gonna land. Is it's not his first hit. I'd like it to be a little cleaner, but we'll see. We'll see.
What about this situation? Jack had a baseball game on Saturday. We've been undefeated, 4-0, three games by mercy. Should have been all four, but anyways, we lost our first game in Vancouver. Eventually, we figured it had to happen. You run into a really hot pitcher. We could hardly hit. Like, the pitching was very, very strong. But anyways, first inning, I think it was first inning, and runner on second, two outs, Jack up, hits a line drive single between or over shortstop and or between shortstop and third, something like that. A nice hit. Anyways, runner scores, umpire throws up his hands. I guess his bat must have grazed the catcher's glove, which nobody saw or heard, and catcher's interference, runner back to second, he gets first, hit taken away.
I don't think that's not the right call.
Next guy strikes out, runner stranded, no run. We only scored three runs in the game. That would have been our second. We ended up losing by three. But anyways, I was like, how is that? How is that? Like, is that the rule? Like, I don't know.
Here, okay, but here's a rule. Here's the deal. So, like, if the pitcher's come, you know, during his delivery, as he comes to home plate and he throws the ball, he balks. The umpire yells balk. As a hitter, you swing at it. Because if you hit it, and you hit it out of the park, it's your choice if you want it to be a balk or a home run. You have a free swing. Now, if you swing and miss and strike out, it's a balk. It's a dead ball. So the advantage goes to you. It's not your fault, right? So I don't know the rule. My instinct would be the rule would be you get the choice. If it's catcher's interference, but you got the hit, you know, penalty declined, first down.
Yeah, that in my mind, that's what I thought too. I'm like, this doesn't make sense. You get rewarded in this scenario. Like, you take away an RBI and you get rewarded for the catcher getting his glove in the way. And then the crazy thing was their team totally was cheering the call. And I was like, this isn't right. This doesn't seem right. Anyways, there was a definite impact on that game, just being how close a game it was. Yeah. Oh, another scenario you'll like, and Jack. So we had used our best pitching the day before to beat the best team in the province the day before, but like, there's a lot of pitching rules about pitch counts and whatnot. So then we have to turn around the second day and play the team we lost to, that without our best pitching. And Jack's like a middle of the rotation kind of guy. Again, he's the youngest player, and so not expected to be, you know, the best pitcher amongst this group. Anyways, he wasn't going to pitch. I think they were going to pitch him. The game was really tight, so then they weren't going to pitch him. Their first pitcher did exceptionally well. I think pitched four scoreless innings, and then the next guy came in and started to struggle with control. So it's a 7-inning game. We're the road team. It's the bottom of the sixth. The game is tied 3-3, and our pitcher's having control issues. Loads the bases, one out, and then they decide to bring Jack in, which never happens that he comes in the middle of an inning like this scenario. So team hasn't lost, you know. Oh, and we're gonna bring in the young kid with in a 3-3 game to try to get out of this jam with bases loaded and one out. And he got a pop up to get two outs, and then I think through a wild pitch, a pitch in the dirt that got by, they scored one, and then he had two strikes and a kid hit a bloop just over second base to score two, and so the final ended up being 6-3.
Good news, not his runs.
No, but I mean, just like, it was the margin was was so slim. And the unfortunate part was the hit that they scored two runs on was just one of those garbage pop-ups that it was a pop-up to opposite field that was just a little too far for the second baseman and a little too short for the right fielder. And it was just like one of those seeing eye bloops that we went, oh no, right?
But in the scorebook, line drive.
In a scorebook, that one would get good, would get called a hit for sure. It was a, line it drive was a in the hit. Book. Yeah. Unfortunate. Yeah. But again, came in like a champ in a tough scenario and I thought pitched well, could have easily gotten out of it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I joke. I mean, obviously you want the win, but those are all, those are runs that kid, his ERA is still intact.
Yeah. I wasn't thinking that. I was just thinking it was a good character building experience.
Yeah,
to have to do that. I was, I think, more nervous than he was, just thinking, oh no, they're bringing him in with the bases juiced and whatnot.
Bring in Chapman. So I snapped a few photos of my son playing there. So I got a shot of him on second base cheering on his buddies, which I just kind of liked that shot. And then he scored a run. On that, the very next play, he scored. You see him scoring. And my favorite is the smile on his face after. Like, just sheer joy of playing baseball, right?
Yeah, that's great.
And then to tie it in to your son coming in to pitch, the coach said to my kid before game two, we played two games that day. So before game two, he says, hey, I need you to pitch. Can you pitch? Yep, no problem. You're seven, dude. I don't get hit in the face. That's all I want is no comebackers, because these kids are big kids. They're gonna hit a screamer up the middle, and that's gonna be the end of baseball forever. didn't happen. Good news is, I mean, he got a couple outs, but mostly walks and hits. So it was a tough outing. He did not quite as good as Jack did, but there's a shot of him pitching, where he's just having a great time, loving it.
Yeah.
And then so I included a shot of me from back in the day, 1983, also pitching.
Yeah, look at that. Look at that hair. Look at that hair.
Sweet lid, man.
Yeah, and nice hat too. Look at that hat.
Those came back in style not too long ago, thanks to Ashton Kutcher. So thanks, buddy. Thanks, Punked. The
best part is your right fielder there doesn't even look like, or maybe that's center field, maybe that's not part of your game. He's facing the other direction. Yeah.
No, this is Dixon Park, and that's four games going on. Like, so he's playing outfield for a different game.
Okay.
you must have played at Dixon Park, didn't you?
I did. I'm not
your son. From
BC.
No. With Jack's teams when he was. This is when I was 9 years old. So a couple years older than my son. But when Jack was that old, didn't you ever play at Dixon?
I think we did. Yeah. I think we played at every field. So I'm going to say yes.
So they had four diamonds all kind of coming in together. So all the center fielders would just kind of put their backs to each other, and that's how you played. Good times. Sure. All right. It was awesome. I shot a lot of video of that and whatnot too. Like I said, pretty nervous watching him. Like, you understand how that is. But the very next day, we went down to the park to watch the other kids play, and I introduced him to a little game called 500. They had not played it before. The kids.
Okay.
So we started playing 500 with the fly balls, and they love it now. So I'm going to play a lot more of that. All right. Let's get right into the challenge. The topic this week, this month, is our monthly challenge, and that is augmented light. So we have a not as many submissions this month, Adam.
Disappointing.
What do you chalk that up to? People are busy in the summer?
Yep. I think that's part of it. I'm guessing kind of like, it is in this part of the world that things are opening up and all of a sudden people are like, oh my gosh, I there's stuff that I can do now. So, So maybe travel, camping, all that stuff. I think people photography might have been put on the back burner for the last couple of weeks.
Okay. It's better.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, let's do that instead of internalize.
I don't ever internalize. It's never me.
No, exactly. I I internalize, but for other people. Like I internalize right. for you.
Sure. Yeah.
Right. That's the way I prefer to look at it. It makes me feel better about myself. So the challenge this month was augmented light. So it's funny because I kind of thought about this. I was like, I wasn't doing a whole lot of lighting or bouncing or anything like that for a while. And I looked back at all my photos I took in June, and except for a very small handful, they are all available light.
Okay.
Like almost exclusively. And then I do try to time it so, you know, it's very good available light. Like I will find decent light, like nice existing interesting light in the evening or whatever it is. But yeah, just not doing that much lighting. And so hence the topic, the challenge, augmented light. So without further ado, let's get into the submissions. We have, I'm going to say 8.5. It's 9, but the first one I think is spam. What do you think? I included it because if it's not, I don't want to exclude somebody.
Yeah, I don't know. Why do you say that it's spam?
Well, I don't know that there's any augmented light here. Like, I see light that exists that...
True, you know, yeah. I don't see how they could have... Yeah, I guess maybe people's interpretation of augmented and available might be different. Maybe there's lots of light sources. Yeah, there's lots of light sources.
Yeah, I just see a lot of, like, in the... It's just a sort of pseudo inspirational quote with a bunch of, hey, follow this page, tag us, follow us, that kind of stuff. So I'm not sure. I'm not sure if this was an attempt to participate or.
Okay, let's say no. Let's move on. Now that I'm looking at all the little at things, it's not a participant.
Now, if I'm wrong, I'm happy I'm wrong and welcome. Welcome, tclicks.360.
Yeah.
All right. Sure. Next up,
It's not that good, anyways.
Oh, and now they're not coming back for sure.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. Well, internalized for him. Yeah. So next up, Marumal 97. I try and take something different on the summer solstice. This year, I went to a nearby stone circle a few days before. Forecasted storms. Feels quite unnatural shooting in natural light at close to 11 p.m. Apart from the ambient light, these stones are lit by two small hand torches and a third for a little light painting on the main stone. Note to self for next time, take better lights and some stands. Go, Adam.
I'm not sure. To me, I get what's happening here. There's stones. It looks like someone out for a walk, camping, and they've got flashlights, like a couple of flashlights pointed at some rocks.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I see.
Yeah, this is something. I don't know what a dolmen is. I mean, besides being obviously a stone circle, but it sounds like it's something old. That the druids probably did.
Okay.
So there's probably some sort of a historical significance, but in terms of a visual significance, I'm struggling on this one.
Okay.
Moving on then.
Yeah.
Next up. David 120 Williams silhouette augmented lighting light coming only from softbox behind subject. Now the highlight for me obviously is the hashtags here. So he's in Australia, so they're doing a little 2-week lockdown right now, which is what that means. Hashtag not Tiger Williams in reference to us.
I don't see that.
No, it's there. It's right above hashtag. Oh yeah, Frank Pang.
Yeah, no way. Couldn't be Frank Pang.
No, because there's even if he's allowed to fly to Australia, which is where this was, it's two week quarantine.
Yeah.
Even if you're allowed, which you're not. Like, I don't think, I mean, the Panger obviously could make it happen. But you couldn't just fly to Australia right now.
No.
Go ahead and try it. Go now. Go. Do it. Can't
I'm
doing do it. It.
I'm at Can't. The airport.
Can't do it. So there's that. All right. So, we're going to silhouette here. Go.
I like silhouettes. I see that all this, it says the light's coming from a softbox behind. It looks cool. I'm not sure if it looks like a sunset. I'm not sure what it looks like, but it doesn't look like a softbox. It's creating a cool background. I like the silhouette. There's just enough detail to see, you know, the nose and lips and chin, and
yeah,
the coat looks cool. The pose looks cool. Yeah, I like it. I like what's going on here.
Yeah, the light that's bouncing back on his face is just enough, and the same with the little rim on the front of his coat, and then on the sleeve as well. That's kind of what that would just be completely dead space, and this doesn't work as a traditional silhouette, like of just him being completely in black. Like the one that you pay for at Disneyland, where they make a rough sketch drawing of your kid and then cut it out of construction paper and then charge you $40. That wouldn't really work in this case. So that little flare is what makes this one work. All right, next up, Kenneth Skalevik, Bergen, Norway. This white-lipped, like you knew, if I asked you to name a kind of snail, could you?
No.
No. So already, Kenneth is better than us. This white-lipped snail fell onto our outdoor glass table. Speed was kind of low, passing the pink flower, giving me time to turn the table to use the house wall as a reflector. Really nice color and texture on these snails, if you can look past their slimy first impression, which I cannot, by the way. I'm not French. Speaking of France, they eat these. Adam, did you know that?
Mm-hmm. I did know that.
Yeah, okay. Perfect subject for a macro lens.
Escargot.
Yes, look at that escargot.
Hey, speaking of snails, and not related to this photo at all, have your kids ever watched Turbo?
I don't know.
You gotta. Turbo is fantastic.
Okay, is it on Disney?
I don't know. Is it a Disney movie? I think so. I don't know. But anyways, just find Turbo. Watch it. Sam will probably want to watch it 18 times. He's the perfect age for Turbo. I'm sure Emily will like it too, but Sam, if he likes cars at all, he will love Turbo. I think Jack watched it exactly 472 times when he was between the ages of 6 and 8.
All right. We'll check that out. We're just watching Indiana Jones over and over again. So
yeah, I'm just kidding. No, that's Turbo's way better than that.
Yeah, not possible. So this is pretty cool that he moved the table. You'd be able to use the house as a reflector. That's a great move. And
colors are great.
The colors are outstanding, right? Like, that's what really makes this. There's more than one. I didn't even look at the other photo. I just grabbed the first one that we saw. So I'm not going to do it on the air. We'll have to go off the air and be surprised about the second photo and see what happens.
Okay.
Is it a stitched panorama? I don't know, Adam.
Okay.
Do you have to know now? Or can you live?
I'm okay.
Okay, yeah. So yeah, very cool. Like, the reflection really makes it, and the balanced light. That combined with the excellent colors. Gonna be tough to beat, but Scott Broey. This is at the yoga studio, obviously.
Yeah.
Half moon pose. I did not know the name of this. Good for a stronger. This is right up your alley, Adam. Being a physiotherapist, stronger lower body, improved balanced, reduced sciatica pain, healthy digestion, peace of mind, and more. I wonder what the more is, and more. What else is there?
I'm gonna just say most people with sciatica can't do that. So you can't just say reduce sciatica pain. Like, that's how about you show a guy doing sit-ups off the side of a building and then say reduce sciatica pain?
Yeah.
Right? It just, it, right. It's, yeah, yeah. So I it's like, oh, hey, take this rare seed extract and it will cure your arthritis. It will make you stronger, faster, walk on your hands. Yeah, no, I'm not having it in the world of rehab. This person is incredibly fit already. They don't have sciatica.
Right, right.
Yeah. Okay. They probably will never have it. Yeah.
It's a self-selecting group. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, people in the triathlons have low blood. Hey, for lower blood pressure. No, they're in good shape. That's what they do.
Yeah.
Good point.
I like this photo though. The photo's good. My only complaint would be the floorboard heater piece. I don't know if there's another spot. I know they wanted the background there. Uh-huh. I might even just do the, you know, the whatchamacallit trick in Photoshop, the content aware fill. I'd circle that and see what it does and then just maybe brush it up a little bit just to get rid of that. Because otherwise, I really like this photo.
I thought of that. That's going to be tough, though, because of the gradient light. Like, that's going to make that challenging.
Yeah. You'd have to spend a little time on it. Or maybe there's just a different angle that you could shoot in this room. I know there's probably limitations because of where that cool background is located. But yeah, that's my only beef is that it's just a bit distracting. It's right centered in the image. Yeah, right behind the subject. Yeah.
Good point. Okay. Fail.
Yeah. Plus, don't say reduce sciatica. You already got me on edge there.
Okay. look at the symmetry on that on the body though. The up and the down with the
arms. Oh, it's great. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That's not easy. Try doing that after we finish here.
Yeah. No, I'm like I've had like 9 things of cough syrup already today, so I'm going to be dizzy. Like, forget it.
Right.
I don't even have a cough. I just like cough syrup. All right, next up, JC Russo. Details of a garden windmill, macro lens, and ring light. I would not have guessed this was a garden windmill.
No, this is cool looking though. Like, it definitely abstract. If you didn't tell me what it is, I would have no clue or guess. But it is cool look at. Again, the colors make it for me.
It, to me, it's the texture. It's like this would make it for a good, like, you could use it for an overlay on something as well, or be kind of a cool background for like a business card or you know, like a terrible birthday card maybe. But it would be kind of funky for that, like, or, you know, for, I think I really would be kind of cool to make like, you could use sort of that thing to make like an overlay to sort of have like a grungy old look, you know what I mean? To if you're to grunge, I wish I hadn't started this sentence now, Adam. If you're to make it look like font look kind of old and grungy, and distressed, you could use this as a template for that.
Okay.
In all Photoshop, right. So it's cool to have. What I'm saying is it's cool to have a bunch of different textures on file should you ever want to use them in Photoshop.
Okay.
So this is one of them. So this does look really, really quite cool. And it's probably one of those things that had you not used the ring light, it would look like, you know, garbage.
Okay.
Also, I also happen to know this, and you go ahead and argue if you like, but these windmills also reduce sciatica pain.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Yeah, true story. All right, Frank Pang up next. The Panger coming in hot with... Now, Scott, there's some back and forth going here. Because evidently, Frank has tied his in with Scott's yoga pose. And this is now what's called, I guess, a singing bowl. I did not know that.
Okay.
Read the comment down below. Well played. If there was a play in the first place, maybe he's not. Maybe Scott's just making it about himself. I don't know. Like he said, it might just be my ego connecting the dots between our shots. So what is that? What are we looking at here with those little string LEDs? What is that?
Those are lights.
Yeah, I understand that. It's augmented light.
Right.
Why does the Panger have those?
I think because he needed something to augment
the light. Why does he own them at all?
Why does he
own them? What are they? Do you have them?
Not green ones. I have outside... patio lights that are like this, that are like, they're, it's like LEDs on a wire and you can of attach them to anything. So I have something like this. They don't, it's weird that his, he has a couple of green bulbs mixed in there. Cause mine are all just a warm light and you can run them along a fence or in our case underneath our bat, little patio, overhang. We have LEDs kind of wrapped around like that. So they look, they look cool. Yeah.
These look very small though. Like I think this is a very small bowl. It looks like a mortar and pestle to me, but I guess evidently it's a singing bowl, but whatever that means.
I don't know. What's the other thing leaned up against it?
That's the thing that makes it sing. Like that you, I guess you kind of
rip
it around in there.
Yeah. Yeah. Got it. Got it.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not an expert on anything in this photo.
Okay.
But I feel my sciatica acting up looking at it. So
Frank's gone abstract this month. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So well done, Frank. I like the creativity here, even though I don't know what's going on.
Okay.
And Adam was of no help. All right, next up is D. Bradshaw, our second of our Australia submissions, although he's so far away from Sydney in Perth that it's like, I can't believe it's the same country, let alone continent. It's pretty far. Okay. I was just talking to a buddy of mine from our baseball team over for dinner last night, and he played a season in Perth, and he was saying, yeah, it's pretty remote. So there you go. There you go, D. Bradshaw. We have something in common here. Guy played in Perth. Having a go at using flash for macro photography, while not an overly exciting use of added light, hopefully the use of flash has brought out some extra detail in the dusty dials of this old Pentax. It did.
I think it has, yeah.
I think it has. I think that it, had you not lit this, we would not be talking about it.
For long.
Still not going to go deep on it, but
I like it though. I like it.
It is good. It's really good. Like, you know, and it's the little things. It's the exact angle over top where you don't see any of the outer ring of the eye of the shutter dial there.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's perfectly on top. So well done on the angle. I think you included just enough of the rest of it, like of the shutter release and, I'm not familiar with the Pentax, but whatever is going on there on the, with the winder, I'm assuming winder.
Yeah. Sure.
You included just enough to be confusing to me evidently, but, I like this one and I like old stuff like this.
Mm-hmm. No, it's cool looking. And again, I see it as sort of some kind of background, would make for a good photography business card.
It would, if you ran a photography shop that also sold coffee, this would go on the wall.
Sure.
Yeah. Or a coffee shop that also sold old Pentax cameras.
Sure.
You're looking at this on the wall. All right. Next up is Roger Dahlman. Now here's Roger. I'm going to give everybody a tip based on Roger's submission. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what we learned like day one at film school.
What?
Never spoil a good story by telling the truth.
Okay.
Okay. So now he goes a throwback to an older session with Rebecca. The set was provided. Oh, okay. Blah, blah, blah. Blah, headshot, but I shot it. Where was it? Maybe it wasn't in this. I read it earlier when maybe he sent it to me and he said, hey, by the way, I shot this a while ago, but if you're looking for submissions, go ahead and use it. So it wasn't shot this month, but he was submitting it nonetheless.
Mm-hmm. And you included it.
I included it because I wish he hadn't spoiled. Well, first of all, nowhere in here. Like, I forget where I must have read it in a comment or a direct. Must be a direct message that he sent. I got confused about where I read that part. But he did spoil it, and now maybe he didn't spoil it. Maybe I'm spoiling it now. That's the point.
Okay.
However, I'm including it. I'm going to pretend like it was shot this month because it's really quite cool. I like what's going on here.
What's the background, do you think?
I think it's in like a garden windmill. I don't know. It could just be like a painted backdrop kind of thing. It looks like an outer space motif to me.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. But then it seems to all go out of focus in like sort of a unified way where, where it doesn't make sense as a natural background.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like the out of focus bits on the right side of the image are seemingly exactly the same as the out of focus bits on the left side of the image, not really giving us any indication about depth, right?
Well, hence it could be like a painted background.
Yeah, but that's what I'm wondering. We'll have to find out from Roger if this is something that's just a painted backdrop. But if it sounds like it's a studio setup, so very well could be. But anyways, it is cool looking shot of a model.
And I like the confidence here, and she's doing some poses. Like, I would never think to like, oh, hey, pose like this, do this. So I like when people do stuff that's interesting, but yet it looks not natural, but they look comfortable doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's what I do quite like that. And the great lighting and the kind of like look across your shoulder blades, that sort of that little highlight lighting there looks really quite cool.
She looks slightly angry.
Okay.
And I'm thinking it's because of her sciatica.
Oh, yeah. That'll make you angry. Yeah. All right. Scott taking a beating this week. Mm-hmm. So out of all of them, Adam, who takes home the coveted first place this month?
I think it's got to be Turbo the Snail.
Yeah, no question. Just the colors. Yeah. Forget it.
Yeah.
Well done. Yeah. All right. Let's have a look at ours before I just turn this off. All right, let's look at yours. Okay, here's yours. Now, this is part of your Father's Day shoot, right?
It is, yeah.
Okay, so what's going on here?
Father and son. I did everybody, all the fathers with their kids. Similar setup to what I did for Mother's Day. Again, probably about 2 or 3 hours too early to do this in a perfect sort of lighting scenario. So you have to deal with baseball hats. We're not taking the baseball hats off. It's a baseball motif father and son photo. So we're using the hats, which means I need a little augmented lighting in order to try to bring up some of those shadows from the eyes underneath the hats. So I can pump flash in here and just kill the shadows entirely, but then that doesn't look right either. So it's finding kind of like somewhere a happy medium. So I've got, I think two lights here, two flashes on stands with umbrellas. So I want to kind of soften the shadows. I don't want to just pump bare flash at them. So it's camera right and just kind of feathered across them. And you can see, if you look closely, you can see the catch lights in their eyes underneath the brims. Mm-hmm. And I think I might have, I can't really remember now because it's been a few weeks since I did this. I think I might have thrown a light in behind, but I can't really see it other than maybe it just softened some of the shadows. And I'm pretty sure I had it in an umbrella as well. So it was meant to not be super obvious, which is now I'm looking at it going, I can't even tell if it's there or not. But I think in some of the photos, it's a little bit more obvious. In this case, it may not have even fired. I don't know. I can't really see it. Actually, there's some light on the back shoulder of the gentleman, the father in this photo that is coming from that flash. You can see his shoulder there. It gets lighter at the top. Yeah. So it's fired, but it's again, it's very subtle. So that's it. Just more or less used to fill in the dark shadows from the hat and just
light. And you were able to get the, because you look like you have the flash, like the umbrella kind of up a little bit higher. Like it's not down low. You're still able to get it up under and hit the eyes, or why didn't you have the light come from down below?
It just starts to look unnatural.
It does. I mean, it's a difficult situation, but you just want to, you know, obviously try to get it up under the brims of the hats. And the sun is sort of three quarter to the, like their right camera. Left.
Yes. Yeah.
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 Which obviously you'd like to have a little bit more behind, but then you probably wouldn't see the diamond in behind. Right.
Right. So that's the trade-off. There isn't a good background to shoot in that direction. So kind of pick my background and then try to use the lighting that I have to try to, again, get the best case scenario. So for me, the background was really important. I wanted kind of the background with the trees and with the diamond. And so it was like, okay, so that's my background now sorted out from there. So, then everything is just a matter of like, okay, how much flash do I need and what's going to look natural or unnatural. So yeah, I think it picked a kind of a middle ground and, some of them, like if I used a little bit more flash, people might of themselves like it a little bit better just because it becomes better lit on their faces, but then to me it starts to look unnatural. So there is kind of, you know, I could show others where the flash is more obvious, but I don't like it as much. So yeah, I think it's a season to taste situation.
You got to go really subtle on these. I've done the other where you've really overlit and like you said, they look fantastic, but like, you know, like it just doesn't, it looks like a, you know, studio backdrop that you did and it's not good. It's better. I prefer to go a little more subtle flick of light versus pump it in.
Right.
Now, so let me ask you a question about Mark Ruffalo's stunt double here. Is he left-handed?
No.
Really? No. He wears his hat like a left-hander.
Okay.
Every left-handed guy I've ever played with wears his hat crooked.
Mark Ruffalo, I'm gonna tell him that. He's going to like that.
Yeah. Doesn't he?
A little bit, now that you say that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Like not Incredible Hulk Mark Ruffalo, but like Zodiac Mark Ruffalo. Dave Toski. Check him out, Dave Toski. Well, he's got to obviously have the bigger hair, but there you go. Maybe it's his brother, Steve Ruffalo.
Okay.
All right, next up is my shot. Now, I say augmented light, but I actually turned out I went 100% light. So I augmented the dark, really.
Okay.
My daughter was turning 10, hence the 10 fingers. I don't know if you can count, Adam.
I thought it was jazz hands.
She's turning jazz hands, yeah. It was her jazz hands birthday. So we had to make an invite for her friends to come over to the party. And I said, oh, let's just try this. And so I wanted to light something to leave room for text in the darkness. And we just had fun with it. This doesn't represent anything, but this is the X100 with the new Godox flash I have on camera. So this is just on camera, direct flash, no bounce, nothing. This is just direct flash because when is the last time you just shot direct flash on somebody?
Never.
Yeah, I never do it. But I was like, you know, there's got to be a way where it's going to be fun. Like, I'm not saying it's necessarily my go-to lighting setup, but I kind of liked it for its own little value.
Okay.
And so I did that. I zoomed it in manually as far as it would go. And then I also added like the black foamy thing as a snoot so I could shape it into some sort of a different sort of lighting setup, like a lighting shape. And then the idea being, you know, we're going to light her, get some of the background and then have it all fall off where I could write the text about, you know, come to my party, that kind of thing. So what do you think of the on-camera flash?
Yeah, it looks good.
Okay. The end.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to do a little bit more of this, actually. I'm kind of liking what's going on, and I feel like maybe if it's because she's up right up against the background, which I never do that either. How often do you position your subject right against the background?
Never. Yeah, I don't do that. Yeah, I think it looks strange, but it totally is fine in this scenario. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not something I would typically do, and I probably will do less of it, but except in very certain situations, just for effect. Again, with the Godox, a little bit more this week. Not a lot to report, but I want to go in depth on it another time when I get more reps on it, but kind of love that little flash. It's pretty awesome. It's pretty tiny, portable, powerful. So there you go. All right. So that was the June monthly challenge. Next month, July, we want to make it easy and accessible. So I have an idea. If you think it's not accessible enough, feel free to chime in.
Okay.
I kind of like the golden light of July, even though it's not in Australia. We have like obviously the bulk of our listeners are in Australia right now. So it's your, you know, winter solstice. I get it. Play along though. We played along with you a couple of months ago.
Golden light.
Golden light. So just golden. I shortened it to just golden.
golden, anything golden.
Yeah, so if you're in Golden, BC, for example, the town of Golden, just do whatever. Just do whatever in Golden. Like, you shoot the sign that says, welcome to Golden.
Right.
There's a Golden, BC, isn't there?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I'm just thinking now that I know there's a Golden, Colorado, too, but they're different.
Can do both.
Right. Regardless, it's just Golden. Use your imagination. That's part of the challenge for July. So hashtag that, two hosers monthly challenge. Hashtag hey hosers, even better, do both of those. And tag us at two hosers on the Instagram, and we'll talk about that next month. A challenge for next week, Adam. I thought of this because I thought you might be kind of getting into that vibe right now. Is it time for baseball cards for your kids' team?
Yes.
Okay. Baseball card is the challenge for next week. Now, I'm not saying you're going to shoot all your baseball cards. Maybe you shoot a sample with Jack, and that's it. But regardless, next week's challenge is baseball card.
Okay.
All right. Website, Adam, you're still on the Instagram.
Correct.
Okay. For example, we'll just...
Adam Two Hosers.
Okay, there you go. Follow Adam on Instagram. You'll see his interesting stuff. My stuff you can find at alanatridge.com or the two of us at twohosers.com, where you can go to find all the links, photos, everything we just talked about. And that's it. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.